Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
In light of last week's exceptional service, where we had multiple testimonies, and I have a message to bring that deviates from the book of James this morning. And I felt that this message was really a word from the Lord, a timely word from God for all of us, wherever you are in life. But certainly to new believers, but also to people who've walked with the Lord for some time. And you see the title on the screen, My Way or God's Way. That's really a decision you make every day of your life. God's will for your life can be discovered. And it is being discovered. Believe it or not, it's happening day by day as it unfolds in our lives. Question, is there a right career for you? Is there a right job for you? Is there a right marriage? Is there a right marriage partner, possibly? You know, back in my day as a teenager in the 70s, I surfed a little bit. I wasn't like a great surfer, but I was a surfer for a while, primarily because that's what girls were interested in. So on the beach, you know, I mostly drove around with a surfboard on top of my car. But I did try it. Wasn't all that great at it. But besides it being like a girl magnet thing, there really was a thrill and experience. If you caught the right wave at the right moment, and then you were able to jump up and stand on that board and to feel the power surge underneath you, that wave carrying you. And if I think I'm going to have to change microphones here, okay? If you just happen to change, get into the curl of that wave, which was a rare thing for me. If you did, there was an expression for that that many of you my age and older will remember back in the 70s. It was a surfing term called right on. Remember we said, oh, right on, you know, kind of old term, right on. You don't say that today. It's kind of a corny expression now because it's age, but it actually was a surfing term. That's what it meant, that you were right on. You were right at that perfect ride, that perfect wave. You were in the right place at the right time. In other words, you were right on. Now, that's God's will. When you're right on, you're in the right place at the right time. Now, there's a Greek word used to describe the opposite of that term, being right on or in the right place at the right time. And that Greek word is the word harmatia. And harmatia is a Greek word that means to miss the mark or miss the goal or not be right on. But most people don't know what the mark is. What's the mark? What is the goal? What are we trying to do? Where are we going? And most of people in the world that I know today are like the man who hailed a taxi and he jumped in. And as soon as he jumped in, he said, take me there. Where? Take me there. We don't know where it is. But the where is the will of God for your life and my life. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. So the decision that we have to make in life, not just one time, but many times, is it my way or is it God's way? I'm going to talk to you today about discovering God's will for your life. I heard one preacher last year describe sin with an acrostic, said sin is really self-inspired narrative. In other words, you're taking the pen from God's plan, who has plans for your life, from God's hand. You're taking the pen and you're saying, I'm going to write my own story. I'm going to do it my way. And that's really what sin is. You're going your own way rather than the plans and the purposes that God has for you himself. When we get born again, we get saved from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. That's glorious and that's wonderful because we trust in Jesus and we go God's way. We realize we need a Savior. But having God in your life, listen, having God in your life, getting saved, does not mean that you are now fulfilling God's plan for your life. That was good, but there's more that's unfolding. It's very possible for a believer to still miss the mark that God has for them, God's purpose for the life. What is hitting the mark? That's the question we need to ask. God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 9. Hitting the mark is, here's what God says, God who saved us, who called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according, come on, say it with me, according to his own purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you, a plan for you being where you are today. Jeremiah 29:11, God speaks to God's people Israel, and he says, I know the plans and the purposes that I have for you. He knows, Jennifer. He knows, Miguel. He has plans, he has purposes for you that you don't know, but you're going to have to trust him in order to get there. Yes, it was God's purpose to save us from sin, but not just to save us from sin so we can just live a comfortable life here, but to save us unto his purpose so that we can walk in his purposes. And God's purposes are clearly brought out in the Word, but we still have a problem of being in the center of God's will. Jeremiah the prophet was a seer, and he saw God's people Israel in his day as a container that can't hold water. He says, you're like a cistern, you're like a bucket, and you can't contain or hold on to God's purposes and plans. You start to leak and go back to your old ways. Instead, God has always planned that his people not be a container of him, but they should be a river of living water. And that a river goes out into the desert places, and you notice always along the side, the banks of a river, the trees grow strong. Oh, the vegetation is green. And I was thinking as we were singing a song about that, I want to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, Psalm 1. I was thinking that this is where God's people are. The ones who stay close, the ones who stay in the center of God's will, they are planted by a river of water and they stay green. But those who stray away from the Lord and they're just not really established, they don't put down roots to depend upon the Lord on a daily basis, they're like the people that have gone farther away from the stream. And the farther you get away from the stream, there's those dry, arid places where hardly anything grows. And if it does, it barely survives. And the problem is this. It's the same problem that has always been since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And Jeremiah the prophet saw it this way. He was a seer, so God showed him pictures. In Jeremiah 2:24, he said, the people are self-willed like a donkey. This is what they are. They want to do what they want to do rather than to serve God's purposes. They know when God speaks to them. They know what God has already told to them. They have enough word from God to know what they're supposed to do. But God's people, self-willed, stubborn, seeking their own satisfaction and their own pleasure in life, thinking that that's God's plan for their life. Listen, I want you to take down some notes. There are three words that God gave me to give to you, and these three words are for you to meditate upon this week. There are three words you must know in order to find and fulfill God's will for your life. Three words. Are you ready? That was terrible. I wouldn't respond to that. Are you ready? Number one is repentance. Don't think you already know what that means. Repentance is, in the English word, two words together, meaning to go back, to return, and then the word pent is the highest place, as in a penthouse. And so when God speaks to repent, he usually speaks to his people who need to repent in their thinking and change their mindset, because we all have our mindset like you set a television to a channel or a radio to a certain radio station. And we have a mindset, and our mindset needs to be changed from the low-level earth thinking to the high-level heavenly thinking. That's not easy. Going back to the highest place of thinking, God's thoughts, that's what it is. In essence, repentance means to change your mind to the high level of thinking and get your mind off the low level of thinking. And this happens probably many times throughout the day if you're going to walk with God. Repentance is more than just feeling sorry for something we've done. Listen, you can come and you can cry your eyes out and not repent. I said you can come and cry your eyes out and not repent. Repentance, true repentance, is a decision to be offensive in this life. Offensive action to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Yes, I'm sorry for what I've done. That's the first step of repentance. But I'm not going back to the way I used to think. I'm changing, and I'm going to take my thoughts. I know it's going to be a war. I know it's going to require effort. And repentance is changing my mind from a low course to a high course. When you've repented, you know you've repented, and then the war has begun between your ears. It's taking immediate action to change my thoughts and to change my words. I catch words coming out of my mouth now are negative or critical. I say, whoa, stop it. Stop it right now. I have refused to go back there. I have changed my way. So you repent of that. Not only stop doing it, but you go to the higher level of thinking. Are you with me? So you have a mindset. Everybody in this room's got a mindset. Your mind is already set on a certain frequency, which involves your focus. It involves what your priorities are. It involves your attitude. And changing this mind, repentance, going back to the higher level of thinking, requires dealing with a stubborn attitude that all of us have to deal with. We've got to get a hold of this donkey and say, no, you're not going to have your way anymore. No, you're not going to stay in a pity party. No, you're not going to stay depressed. No, you're not going to focus on all the negative in your life. No, you're going to focus on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report. You're going to focus on those things. Do you hear me? You take charge of that. God will not do that for you. And you have authority, you see. And you want to know God's will for your life? This is God's will for your life. Heavenly thinking, different from the world's way of thinking. And it requires you deal with a stubborn donkey attitude. Listen, we've all of us gone our own way most of our life. We've done what we wanted to do most of our life. We eat when we want to eat. We eat what we want to eat. We spend money when we don't have it to spend. We do what we want to do. And then we ain't going to let anybody tell us that we can't. And as a result of that, we're overweight, we're in debt, and we're sorry for it. Because we're out of God's will. I'm talking about God's people. Now, you've gone your way most of your life, and God is now calling you, And he's saying to you again and again, and today he's saying it again because he loves you, I'm calling you to let go and let me lead you to radical change in your life. And it starts with you taking your thoughts captive. And usually, honestly, this is the way most people, not everybody, usually before a person really repents, they go through some humbling circumstances. And it wasn't God's will that they go through it, but they're so stubborn and they wouldn't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit that God in his mercy has to allow some humbling circumstances to happen to bring them down to the point to realize, I need to change my way of thinking. I'm talking about God's people. There's an old hymn we used to sing back in the Baptist church, and we would sing this thing as an appeal to lost people to get saved. We would sing it as an invitation hymn. But really, it's a submission hymn. It's a call for God's people to repent of living in rebellion toward God and to now repent. Look at the words. I've wandered far away from God. Well, you had to be near God before you could wander from him. See, it's not saying that you weren't not a child of God. It's saying I was a child of God. But now I'm coming home back to the place of higher thinking where I'm aware of God in every thought. I'm coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home, and God will receive you just like that. Repentance doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. It can happen in a moment, you see. I've been going my way and not God's way, but now I'm repenting and I'm going to the higher place. I'm going back to the penthouse of thinking on heavenly terms and God's way rather than my way. And here's the good news. If you ask God for guidance, he'll give it to you. You ask God, I need help in changing my mind. He'll give it to you, but he won't do it for you. He'll give you help. And you can start repenting and submitting to his way right now. And you keep repenting. It's not over the same sins over and over again. You may have to do that for a while because of an addiction in your flesh or whatever. But you keep moving up in your way of thinking. You keep moving up in your thoughts, you see. And you speak the promises of God over your life, you see. So the very first step to knowing God's will for your life, would you like to know what God's will for your life is? Then you have to repent. Repent. Just take a moment, do that right now. Why don't you bow your head, close your eyes, just repent over any negative, critical thinking in your life, any doubt, unbelief. Just repent. Oh God, I change my mind to your mind. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the second word is this, renew, renew. The scripture tells us, Christians, renew your mind. God, again, is not going to do this for you. You renew your mind. And read the word renew means to make strong again. When people want to renew their marriage vows, they're not saying, well, the old vows weren't sufficient. They're saying that they're renewing their vows. They're making them stronger by saying them again, you know. And a renewed mind is a refocused mind, one that's focused on the Lord and the things of the Lord. And divine guidance, you want to know what God's will is for your life. It comes out of intimacy with the Lord as you renew your mind. And the problem is, most of the time, God's people's minds are out of tune with God. No wonder they can't know the will of God. And so you must make God's word your new brain. Here is your brain. When you make God's word your brain, you renew your mind. You begin to think like God thinks. And listen, don't think, well, I can't, preacher, I can't just keep my nose in the Bible all day. I've got work. I've got to raise the kids. I homeschool the kids. I've got to do this. No, I understand that. Listen, that's not the point. You do need to spend time reading the Bible, but not just reading the Bible, remembering a truth to meditate upon something throughout your day while you're working, while you're driving. Listen, the test of Bible reading is not because you just show up and put your time in and read the Bible through in a year or read your Bible. No, the test is when you close the book, what do you meditate on? Once you close the book, what did you get out of it? What life word did you get out of it? You may not memorize the verse, but you just know that the Spirit of God spoke to you through that living word, and there was an idea, a thought. Maybe it's renew or repent. And you chew on that throughout the day as you go about your business. You meditate upon it in your soul, you see. Listen, this is critical for the church. It's critical for this church. We are not going any further than our renewed mind. If we don't renew our mind, this is where the train stops. I'm talking about God's people getting serious about the Word and learning to meditate upon the Word, as the Scripture says, making His Word the priority of their life, making God's the relationship with God the priority of their life, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I'm talking about making God number one. You say, well, I've done that, preacher. No, then you got to meditate upon the Word. You got to renew this mind, because this mind is set on certain things that God is not pleased with, and it's got to change. It's got to change. And so we meditate upon the Word. We renew our minds so that we begin to think like Jesus thinks. And we'll find ourselves having the same thought that Jesus has. We're not critical about somebody when they disagree with us. We're not ugly toward them. We don't talk about them behind our back. We begin to think like Jesus, then we act like Jesus. There is a big difference. Listen, there is a big difference between believing in Jesus and believing like Jesus. See, now you believe in Jesus, you're born again, praise God. But now what God wants to do in your life is He wants you to believe like Him. See things the way He sees them. Speak life to things. So we're to believe like Him. This is the renewal process. This is where I believe that God has our church right now. And on Wednesday nights, we're looking at this and talking about this and encouraging people. You should come back on Wednesday nights and hear the teaching, because there's stronger teaching there for people to learn how to renew their minds, to think like God. And this is a process that you and I are in. An unrenewed mind is a stronghold where Satan is free to work. An unrenewed mind is the devil's playground. An unrenewed mind will not restrain itself, will not exercise self-control. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel. They might not see it. And may I add to you that this is not just necessarily talking about lost people. There are unbelieving believers who have strongholds of doubt and fear and negativity and criticism and judgmentalism in their spirit, in their soul, rather not in their spirit. And those strongholds must be torn down. They had them probably since they were born. It was offered to them in hearing their parents talk a certain way. And their parents were critical and negative of everybody. So they become critical and negative of everybody. And Satan has blinded people to the truth that this is not God's will for you. There are unbelieving believers in the church who have these strongholds in their minds, causing all kinds of doubt, causing all kinds of unbelief, and the church needs a renewed mind because we don't think like Jesus thinks. And so we need renewal. It starts with repentance. And if the church would repent today at this altar, because I'm going to invite you, all of you, to come in some way or another, offer repentance to the Lord today at the altar time. if the church would repent. Acts, I think it's 3:19 or 4:19 says, if the people of God would repent, that the Lord would send the times of refreshing upon his people. He would bring times of refreshing that we need from the presence of the Lord, because there's nothing more beautiful to God than when his people come before him and they repent with brokenness and saying, I've got to change, God. I've been living way down here in my thinking. I've been living in doubt and depression and despair and all these things. I've been letting the devil be my counselor, and he's talked me out of the high life I'm supposed to live, and I need to repent. And if I would repent, then times of refreshing will come. I don't know how God does it, but he does. He'll send times of refreshing. Do you know when a believer is out of the will of God, there are certain symptoms that you can be aware of? Symptoms is a medical term. If you have a headache, that's a symptom that there's a problem in your body. If you have a stomach ache, that's a symptom. Something's not right. Need to take care of it. And when a believer is out of the will of God, and the will of God is your priority, when a believer is out of the will of God, there are certain symptoms. And you know, the scripture tells us what they are. You can look them up on your own later, but Deuteronomy 28, verses 65 through 67 says that when a believer is out of the will of God, there'll be no rest for the sole of his feet. In other words, no peace. No peace. Failing eyes, despair of soul, you lose hope. You feel hopeless. And you'll say it out of your mouth. If you listen to yourself, you'll say, you know, it's just, there's nothing we can do. Number three, doubt about life. You're worried. You're fearful about the future. No assurance about the future. And then number four, dread. You dread, the scripture says, when you get up in the morning, you wish it were night so you could go back to bed. And when you go to bed at night, you wish it were morning so you could go ahead and get up. You live in dread. I want to ask you a personal question. Examine yourself in light of that right now. Just this past week, have you had any of these symptoms in your life? God may be talking to you through these symptoms and saying, you need to change something. You're not in the center of my will. If any of these symptoms, if any of them look familiar, where do these symptoms come from? Well, if you read verse 65 in this text, it comes from the Lord. God sends it to you. God sends you these symptoms as a warning sign that you need to change. If I'm not in God's will, then my difficulties that I'm having that are on this list right here are warning signs to me from a merciful God who's trying to tell me, stop, yield, it's a dead end street, don't go, slow down, you're carrying way too many burdens, don't park here. Is God talking to you? Yes, he is. Wonder why the American lifestyle, which is the best lifestyle materially than anybody in the world overall, compared for all the citizens, and we have the supposedly the best lifestyle. People are trying to, they're crossing our borders illegally to get here because America offers hope and it offers a better lifestyle and a better way to live and more material things than most of the world has ever seen. I wonder why in America, who supposedly has the best lifestyle in the world, we use more tranquilizers and antidepressants than anybody in the whole world. And we got it all. At least that's what the world thinks. Americans claim to be Christians. Even if that were true, if the majority of people in America were Christians, if that were true, it still reveals we have not renewed our minds to think like God thinks. Maybe, let's just say that the majority of America who claim to be born again, let's say they are saved. They still haven't renewed their mind. The unrenewed mind seeps pollution down into the heart of man. You see, you're a spirit being. I've taught this a lot here. You should understand this by now. You are a spirit being, and once you're born again, God gives you a newly created spirit that never existed before with the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit in your spirit, and you are a new creation in Christ, never existed before in your spirit. Go ahead and show the circle, Amy. In your spirit is a new man. And then around your spirit is a soul. That's your mind and your will and your emotions. This is your area of responsibility. Now, God does what only God can do in the spirit. He creates a newly reborn spirit. But in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, that's your responsibility to renew. And if you can see it, just in between, a little small space between the spirit and the soul is your heart. The place you make life decisions in your heart. With the heart, man believes. You make decisions, not with your mind. You use your mind, but the ultimate decision is made in your heart. But here's the danger. That heart exists between the area of the soul and into the spirit. Fine line. Only the Word of God is able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. And there your heart exists, the place you make decisions. And the problem is, if you don't have a renewed mind, if your mind is polluted, if your mind has the wrong kind of thinking, has doubt and unbelief, then doubt and unbelief seeps into your heart and corrupts your ability to make the decision that God wants you to make. It pollutes your heart. That's why James chapter 4 says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Your responsibility. How do you purify your heart? Renew your mind. If you don't renew this, this gets corrupted. And it causes you to make wrong decisions that are critical decisions. Purify your heart. And church, if you and I don't do this, we'll make disastrous decisions in this lifetime that will not only affect us, it'll affect other people. Okay, now, how do we renew this mind? Let's go to the Word of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Here it is, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'd like you to read this out loud with me, okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me try to break it down for you. You refuse to be conformed to this world because it's trying to conform you. It's trying to conform you. Worldly values, worldly priorities. Then you present your body to be used only for God's purposes. What pleases God, what Scripture says. My body is not my own to do with what I want. I disagree strongly with the women who say it's my body. I can do what I want to with it if I want to have this baby or not have this. It's my body. Well, if you're a Christian, it's not your body. Your body's been dedicated to the Lord. And there's some supporting Scripture that if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, I guess it is your body. But you will account to God for everything you do. You kill somebody, you will account to God for that. So you present your body. Then you renew your mind, remold your thinking, your mindset to God's higher way of thinking. I never said it was easy, but this is a diligent process of discipline that goes on as long as we're here on this earth. And you've got to be a serious disciple of Jesus. You just don't go and have an experience with God or get born again and think, now it's up to God to change me. No. You co-labor with God. God did only what only God could do in your spirit, but your soul is your responsibility. And then we're transformed. This is only the thing that only God can do. It's the same word used to describe Jesus when he was transfigured. And Peter, James, and John were there, and they saw him glorified. They saw his raiment turn bright white, and his skin turned to a glorious light. They saw Jesus transfigured before him. It's the same word. It's a work that only God can do. You cannot transform yourself. Only God can transform you. But a good name for church would be the Transformers. I mean, if it's a real church, if it's putting out the word, if they're worshiping God in spirit and truth, then it ought to be the Transformers. I mean, we're transformed. We're not this little Volkswagen car, but we're transformed to this giant warrior who snaps and pops, and we stand up and we're this great big monster thing that looks like the devil is afraid of us because we're not what we appear to be. See? And in this world, we're different. Why does God want to transform us? Well, this is the third and final point. So that you can represent God. That's two words. So that you can represent God. Because God has not been presented properly to this world. And not everywhere, but in many places where people claim to know him. Many churches. Probably even in our church. God has not been properly represented. And so our calling is to represent God. That's why we're here on this earth. That's why we're still taking in breath. We are here to represent God by being living proof that God's will is perfect. His will is right. It's what we would choose if we had a good enough sense to choose it. So we're actually proving God's will by representing him to the world. That's why you're here. That's really God's will for your life. You just, how's he going to do that? Well, he's going to need your cooperation. You're here to prove that God's will is good and perfect. You're here to prove that God's word is true. By representing him or representing him with your life. And to do this, look, we cannot do this on our own. We can't just say, well, I'm going to make a decision to be a good representative, a good witness of Jesus Christ this week. That will go as far as probably this evening. That's not enough. And God knew it. And he never expected it of you because he knew that you did not have what it took or takes to properly represent him in the world without him. And so here's what God says. He says, but you shall receive power from on high. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Don't try to do this without this supernatural power that comes upon you, this ability that comes from God, where you're able to accomplish things that you could not on your own, even in the area of your finances right now. I'm telling you, it is God's will for all of us to be out of debt. And you may look at your situation and say, well, it's absolutely hopeless for me. I look at that and say, too, I can't do this, God, unless you give me a strategy. There is no way humanly that I can possibly get out of debt. There is no way this church, God, can get out of debt unless you show us your strategy and show us your ability. And then we obey you, whether it's day by day, moment by moment. And when we do, then we have ability from God. But this power is also an efficiency. It's the quality of being effective to do something. God wants you to be an effective witness. He wants you to be an effective mother and father. He wants you to be an effective wife, effective husband. He wants you to be effective in your work. And he may ordain that you and I be put in situations that are far beyond our education. It's just like God to do that. So that you have to depend upon power from on high. God, I can't do this. You know I'm not smart enough. I don't have the training. I don't have the background. I don't have the knowledge. And then you have to depend upon the Lord, and He makes you efficient with power from on high. You're called to live a supernatural life, not a natural life, but a supernatural life. And then this power is might that you don't have. It is might that comes from God. It's strength to do something. Maybe it's the strength just to persevere through a long trial. But you have strength from on high to do it, not just natural strength that wears out. You have strength from God. And people notice it. They look at you and say, how are you able to do that? And there's your moment to declare, well, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God and His grace upon me that you see working through me. I'm not smart enough to do this. This is the power of God that's able to do this. I didn't come up with this solution. God gave me the solution. You see, everything in your life is a demonstration of you representing God. Not representing yourself, you're representing Jesus. And to represent God or represent God without power is nothing more than religion. Haven't we had enough of that, ladies and gentlemen? I don't want that anymore. I don't want to represent God with religion. We must represent Him with power. That means I must put myself in a position sometimes that I may feel awkward in, but I lay hands on the sick and I declare by His stripes, you're healed. Now stand up and walk. Well, what if they don't? That's not my problem. What if they do? What are you thinking about the negative? You see how much you need to renew your mind? You need to have an expectation. They are going to walk. They are going to see. We were singing a song just a little while ago, and part of it was that the blind eyes see or something like that. And I said to God, I said, God, I haven't seen that yet, but I will see it. I will see a blind person healed and see them walk. I haven't raised a dead person yet. I've tried. But I will see it, because that is one of the signs and wonders that God says you will do. He said He would confirm His word with signs and wonders and miracles. That's what He said. It's not up to me to make it happen. I just position myself in and do what He says to do, and He makes it happen because it's His power, His ability, His efficiency, and His might when the Spirit of God comes upon us. God does these things. It's supernatural. I can't take credit for it, and neither should I ever. Anything good comes out of my life, I should deflect that praise and say, well, it's the goodness of God upon me that you see. It's God at work to represent Him, represent Him with power in this life to do what I'm called to do, to represent God. I was reading the other day in Acts chapter 4 and just meditated on this scripture, where the disciples prayed, the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4 when they were suffering intense persecution. And they prayed, oh God, give us boldness. They didn't pray, oh God, take away our persecution. They had their minds renewed. They knew why they were here. We're here to represent God. God, give us boldness. And stretch forth your hand to produce healings and miracles and signs and wonders in the name of your holy child Jesus. And I prayed that for you and myself. So what does that mean? God will stretch forth His hand as you stretch forth your hand. And he will do the signs and wonders, but only as we cooperate with him and stretch forth our hand. We must believe God wants to do that. God's not dead, ladies and gentlemen. He's not bored. He's not asleep. God is the one who baptizes his people in the Holy Spirit when they ask him with his own spirit. And the Spirit comes upon you. You say, well, I thought I was already had the, I had the Spirit upon me because I got saved. No, you got the Spirit in you. By being baptized, when the Spirit comes upon you in power, and many times there's a manifestation of that in speaking in tongues or other things, just to encourage your heart so that you know that power that you don't have is there. But it's not to be over with after that experience, it's to be utilized. Now go use it. In Walmart, in Publix, on the street, wherever, at the gas station. You have divine appointments waiting for you. The world is waiting for the witnesses of God. The whole Bible says that creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God to show up. Where are you, sons of God? Where are you, daughters of God? Where are the people that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Where are these people who claim that God can do anything but fail? Where are they? Where are you? Where are you? I'm not preaching to entertain you. I'm preaching because it's maybe the last sermon I ever preach. It is, I'm going out with power. Hey! Hey! Where are the believers? Where are his witnesses? Oh, let me tell you. Don't take this the wrong way, but get out of this church. Get out of this church. Don't come in here and just put on a little power demonstration. Get out there and do it in the world. Get out of this church. The creation is longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Your life as a Christian is to represent Jesus to the world. That's God's will for your life. Wherever you live and whatever you do, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you to do things that would be impossible for you to do otherwise. People should look at you and I and say, how are you able to do this? And if they're not, that's an indictment against us, that we are not positioning ourselves to release the power of God that we say we have in us. Well, you say, I thought this was a message about finding, discovering God's will for your life. Yes, it is. Let me tell you two quick ways how it happens. One of the ways is happening right now, and you just don't know it. It's called providence. Providence. The providence of God is God on a day-by-day basis as you're going about your daily routine. You're going to work. You're being faithful. You're washing, cleaning the house. You're going to work. In your day-to-day routine, all of a sudden, God will have you in the right place at the right time to see the right person. And you, and you look back and say, I don't know how you got me here. And that you were there to speak a word of encouragement, speak a word of life, or speak a word of something to somebody. And it's not always a great power demonstration. Sometimes it is. We don't know the power that goes off in someone's heart when we speak a word of life to them. Last week I was getting the oil changed, and I went into the oil change place to get my car oil changed. And I heard this young man, and he was using some foul language and stuff. And I was thinking, you know, I'm always thinking about how can I witness to them? What can I say to them? And immediately my mind says, you don't want to witness to him because he ain't interested. you don't want to witness to him. He's not interested. And so I said, Lord, well, I know you're interested, so what do you want me to say something or not? And the thought just came to me. It's how providence say, just came to me. Talked to him about his name. Because I, when I looked through my windshield and I saw his name, you know, on his uniform there, I thought it said, because I didn't have glasses on, I thought it said Joke, J-O-K-E. I thought, that's an unusual name. I'll just ask him about his name. What in the world does that mean? And when he got close to me, I saw it was Jake, not Joke. So I laughed, and I told him about when he came to the window. I said, Jake, I want to tell you something. When I looked at you a moment ago, I thought your name said Joke, and I thought, what in the kind of name is that? And I said, your name is Jake. And I said, Jake, you're not a joke. God has a plan for your life that you don't even know anything about. And if you only knew, you would quit living on the low level and you would step up to the high level. God's calling's on your life. He loves you and he has a plan. He wants to use your life. And that he stepped back from, he literally stepped back from my, he said, how did you know that? I said, there's a God in heaven who tells us things about people and he loves you and he wants you. And he said, he looked at me real strange. He said, thank you, man, for telling me that. I needed to hear that today. Now, I don't know if he's already saved and in backslidden condition. It doesn't. I just did what I was supposed to do, and I stopped. I didn't do any more. I didn't pressure him about, now get down on your knees and receive Jesus right then. I just did what I was supposed to do, and the power of God showed up and ministered to that young man that in my mind I'd have said, no, he don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, this stuff happens every day. Every day of your life. So providence is one way, quickly, that God gives revelation. The musicians, you can come on up, and altar workers, you can come stand with me right now, too. The second way God gives, makes his will known to you, not only through providence, where it just happens. The second one is special revelation. By special revelation, maybe it's a prophetic word. Maybe it's a rhema scripture. Maybe it's a dream. God does give special revelation to people of his will and what he wants them to do. The wise men, they saw a star in the sky and they followed a star over Bethlehem. It was special revelation. God is not beyond giving you special revelation. But he first wants you to believe in his providence, that he knows how to get you where you are on a day-to-day basis, where you need to be. And you see the hand of God in your mundane, normal activities. And then you can see the special revelation. You can see the star after that. Or understand the dream. Your life should demand an explanation. Your life should demand an explanation. Three things necessary: repent, renew, and represent. Question. Will you present your body as a living sacrifice? You say, I've done that. Will you do it again? It's the first day of the week. Your body has to be presented to God. God, you can use it for whatever you want. You can put me where you want me. You can use me however you want to use me. Will you renew your mind to think like God thinks? Now, that's discipline. It's going to require effort. It's going to require diligence. Will you position yourself to be a witness and represent him with the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the world? So I don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very easy to receive. Come ask. Come ask expecting. God will clothe you with power to be his witness. He'll not clothe you with power just to give you an experience. He'll clothe you to be a witness in this dark world. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need it. You need it. You decide one way or another before you leave this building, will your life manifest God, or do you have the symptoms of being out of the will of God? And if you have any of those, you need to come to the altar and just deal with God. God, I saw the symptoms of being out of the will of God, and I dread things. I dread life. I dread facing things. Then come and ask God, give you the grace to repent, he will. Here's the decision. You're going to make a decision. Everybody in this room is making a decision today. It's either my way or God's way. Say it out loud with me and stand to your feet as you do so. It's either my way or God's way. Say it one more time. It's either my way or God's way. You got to choose. God will not force you. You got to choose. Now, with every head bowed and eye closed, in the name of Jesus, I ask you the honest truth. Where are you? God brought you here today to hear his voice through a preacher. How shall they hear unless one is sent? How shall they hear without a preacher? Through the foolishness of preaching, God presents himself. He presented himself. He's talking directly to you. Now, with your eyes closed, quit thinking about everybody else and what they think. God, what do you think? Ask him. Am I in your will, God, right now? Am I living in your will? Or am I living in my will and pretending that I'm living in your will? Anything other than God's will needs to be repented of right now. And before I ask a soul to move, I'm going to ask the ones that God's Spirit's already spoken to start moving right now. Let your spouse stay there. You come yourself. Come to this altar so that God can make some alterations. Let him have his way with you. It starts right now. Right now. Is it going to be God's way or your way? Come right now. Don't wait for anybody else. Don't even wait till I say amen. Just come right now. God's people need repentance. God's people need to renew their minds. God's people are called to represent him to the world in power. Now, Father, as I say amen in a moment, I ask for supernatural confirmation through signs and wonders following in this building, in this place, to encourage your people. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Every altar worker, operate in supernatural power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look up, begin to move. If it's to the communion tables, if God leads you there, go. If it's to linger, for someone to pray with you, then linger. Come. Spirit of God, I repent. Spirit of God, I will renew my mind this week. I will turn off the television and get in your word. Spirit of God, I need power from on high. Baptize me to be your witness with power. God will do it, but you must ask him. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you, encourage you, empower you, help you, strengthen you, so that you find and fulfill God's purpose for your life from this day onward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let your power fall, Father. Let your power fall. Let your power fall, Father. I trust you to do it. Let your power fall. Don't leave until you've been endued with power from on high. God will make it clear to you in a way that you know it's him. Let your power fall, Father. Baptize in the Holy Spirit and with power. Don't let us leave here the same way we came. Power. Give them power. From you, power from you, power from you. Clear this mind, God. Remove the clutter. Tear down the strongholds.
bind up depression in the name of Jesus, and I declare, depression, you are a lying spirit. God's people are not depressed. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. God's people are not hopeless. There is no despair in the kingdom of God. There is no hopeless situation in the kingdom of God. Now, Father, I ask for the supernatural touch upon people to take their thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and think on whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. They need a breakthrough. A breakthrough. Mindsets. Just declare over yourself any mindset or stronghold of the enemy, any mindset contrary to the will of God, I declare you be broken in the name of Jesus. Just declare it over yourself. You have authority. Any mindset that's contrary to the mind of God, in Jesus' name, I declare you broken. Addiction, mindsets contrary to the will of God, I declare you broken in the name of Jesus. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I accept my freedom. And I accept my responsibility to stay in freedom. I accept my responsibility to take my thoughts captive. I will and I can because God gives me the power to do so. Strongholds come down and the fortresses of God go up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Mindsets are changing. Changing, 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 changing. Satan's power is coming down because all it was a lie to begin with. Cast it down. Every lie, every false thought, every negative, every critical thought, throw it down. Has no place in you, child of God. You were made for greater things than this. Throw it down in the name of Jesus. The warfare begins right now. God has equipped you to be more than triumphant in Christ. There is no weapon formed against you that shall ever prosper. Thank you, Father. Your strength be upon your people, your power, your help, your love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Endued with power from on high, there is no explanation for your life other than God's supernatural power, with signs and wonders following. Thank you. Do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Signs and wonders. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.